Gilchrist moves over behind Kemp. He goes back to pass again. Runs out to the right.
Still on his feet. Now throws. It's good to Loftin. At the 10. At the 5. Touchdown! Touchdown!
The John Murphy Show is on the air.
Three-step drop. Oh, he is buried. He is sacked. It is Mario Williams back at midfield.
You got to give me that leg, Will. You got to give me that leg, Will.
The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the greatest show in sports.
Throws it downfield, intercepted, picked off by Jarris Bird. The ball hawk with the interception for the Bill.
Hear all the action, all the excitement of Buffalo Bills football, right here on
The John Murphy Show.
The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO, supplying natural gas and electricity to thousands of homes and businesses across Western New York. We'll set the stage for our combine coverage tonight on the show. Coming up at 7:30, Greg Gabriel from the National Football Post, longtime NFL personnel man, joins us to talk about some of the prospects in Indianapolis. Joe Biscaglia from our flagship in Buffalo, WGR Radio, joins us at 8 o'clock to set the stage and his thoughts on the combine. And we'll hear from Mike Mayock of the NFL Network.
This place is pandemonium.
CJ at the 10, 5, touchdown! CJ Spiller, touchdown!
Live from One Bills Drive, this is the John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Here tonight, tomorrow at the Combine, good evening. Welcome to the John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO. I am John Murphy and happy to have you in the audience tonight. Thanks for tuning in. We're all geared up for the NFL Scouting Combine. You know, I have to every once in a while kind of circle back and remind myself, everybody is not into it as much as we are, Bills fans, NFL fans. And in fact, people ask me, what goes on down there? What is the combine? That's where we're going tomorrow, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday night. We'll be broadcasting live from Indianapolis, Indiana. That's where the NFL Scouting Combine takes place. More than 330 draft prospects all there assembling now to be weighed and measured and tested and timed and looked at, talked to, interviewed by NFL scouts and coaches in a systematic fashion. They go through medical tests. They go through, as I said, weighing and measuring. They go through all kinds of drills on the field. And it all starts this week at Indianapolis. For us, the media availability starts Thursday, and we'll be there tomorrow night to get set up. So for us, on Thursday, we'll get a chance to talk with offensive linemen and some of the a specialist in tight ends. On Friday, we'll get a chance to talk to quarterbacks, running backs, wide receivers. We'll stay through the weekend, Saturday, to talk with defensive linemen and linebackers, and Sunday to talk with defensive backs. And we've got comprehensive coverage of the NFL Combine coming up right here on our radio show and on BuffaloBills.com over the next 3 days. Tonight, we're going to set the stage a little bit, and we want to know from you tonight, who should we look at? Who should we talk to? I mentioned the position groups, offensive linemen, specialists, tight ends, quarterbacks, running backs, wide receivers, defensive linemen, linebackers, defensive backs. If you were scouting for the Buffalo Bills, what position groups would you focus on in Indianapolis this week? Give us a call. Let us know what you think about that. 803-0550 is the number. Toll free 1-888-550-2550. You can always reach out and follow us on Twitter at John Murphy Show. And think about it in these terms. You know what the Bills' needs are if you're a Bills fan. You have a sense of what the Bills' needs are. You also probably have a general sense of where the talent lies in the combine this year. You know, is it a deep draft for this position or that position? Is there an interesting prospect you'd like to see on the Buffalo Bills roster? But let us know what you think. What position group should the Bills focus on in Indy? I have a list. We have a lot of lists here as we get set for the combine. In fact, the whole week is about lists. My list begins in an unglamorous fashion with offensive line. I think when I hear people talk, when I hear the experts talk about the talent on the offensive line, particularly at offensive tackle, I think the Bills should solidify their offensive line early on in this draft. We're talking about three offensive tackles who may be the right guy for the Bills at number 9 overall. We're talking about Jake Matthews of Texas A&M, Greg Robinson of Auburn, Taylor Lewan of Michigan. I'd take any one of them at number 9. So for me, I would shore up the offensive line with the Bills' early pick in this draft. But you might feel differently. You may think the Bills need a target. I mean, I've come around to thinking that an offensive line is the way to go. Maybe it's a wide receiver. There are sensational wide receivers in this draft. Will they last as long as the Bills need them to last? That's the question. Sammy Watkins of Clemson, regarded as the number one wide receiver by a long shot. And will he be there at number 9? Some people think he will not. So I think, you know, wide receiver would be the secondary thing I would look at if I were the Buffalo Bills. Tight ends I would look at, but not early. I do not believe that tight ends belong really early in the draft. I would look a little bit later on down in the draft. I would look at linebackers as well. There are some good ones here. But we want to hear from you. What position group should the Bills pay the most attention to as they get set for the NFL Scouting Combine? We put the question to Doug Whaley a month ago when we were at the Senior Bowl, and he has a sense that the Bills are pretty much set at the key positions. And he told us, quarterback, left tackle, pass rush specialist, and cornerback. He believes the Bills are set at the key positions. His mindset going into this draft was, we're going to take the best available player. Everybody says that. Nobody wants to jump around their board too much and go down too far on the board. Everybody says best available player, as they should. And they should really follow, you know, the way their draft board is set up. However, you do kind of have a sense of where your needs are. And for Bills fans, we want to know what you think the needs are and what the Bills should look at in this draft. If you have a thought on that, the phone lines are open at 803-0550. Toll free, you can reach us at 1-888-550-2550. You can follow us on Twitter at John Murphy Show. And a couple of tweets already on this issue. Jack O'Callaghan tweets in simply right tackle. I'm inclined to agree. Right tackle or left tackle. We'll talk with Joe Biscaglia about that a little bit later on tonight. Charlie Oswald tweets in, I would like to see a linebacker, maybe tight end or wide receiver, but it's hard not knowing what they do in free agency. That's a good point. Free agency comes before the combine, before the draft, rather. I think free agency will go a long way towards them figuring out what they're going to do in the draft. But just going in, what we know about the Bills roster right now, going into this week, I'm not saying who should they pick. Who should they focus on? What position groups should they focus on as they go into the combine this week? They're all down there, the entire Bills coaching staff, the entire scouting staff, general manager Doug Whaley, his two top assistants, Calvin Fisher on the college scouting side and Jim Monas on the personnel side. They'll all be there. They'll all be conducting business down there. Russ Brandon, the team president, all be conducting business over the next 4 or 5 days in Indianapolis. So that's where the focus of attention will be. And where should their focus be when they look at position groups in the combine talent pool? Give us a call. Let us know what you think. 803-0550 is the number, or toll free 1-888-550-2550. The lines are open. We're going to talk with Greg Gabriel of the National Football Post, Western New York native, longtime personnel man in the league, close to 3 decades of experience in the league. He'll be joining us live at 7:30 to give us his thoughts on the combine. He worked for the Giants. He worked for the Bears, did a little work for the Bills back in the day. Coming up at 8 o'clock, Joe Biscaglia, our partner on the Bills Radio Network, sideline reporter on the Bills Radio Network, draft expert in his own right from our flagship here in Buffalo, WGR Sports Radio 550. And we're going to hear from Mike Mayock throughout the night, especially at 8:30. He did a long 2-hour conference call with reporters from all over the league today, giving us his thoughts on the prospects at the combine. But what position group would you like to see the Bills focus on as they get set for the combine this week? What position group? Offensive line, wide receiver. Whatever you think, give us a call. 803-0550 is the number. Let's start with Brian on the line. Hello, Brian. You're on the air with us.
Hey, John. Thanks. I just don't think you can go right tackle because, you know, the Bills seem to have their left tackle with Cordy Glenn. I just don't think you can go right tackle at number 9. I would go the receiver. Hopefully Sammy Watkins will be there. If not, I think Evans would be a good pickup in that position. I have one quick favor, if you don't mind. It might take a sec. You mind?
Well, let's hear it.
I just wanted, when you get home, just thank somebody for being a college professor of mine. They taught me a great skill of interviewing, and thanks to them, I've had a successful career working in management, interviewing people, and I never got a chance to thank her. So when you go home, thank her. I appreciate it.
Was that my wife?
Yes.
Oh, okay. That was a while ago, Brian.
Long time ago, but she did help me, and I still remember the things she taught me in interviewing class.
Oh, that's
I
cool.
Never
Buff State.
It.
Hey, Brian, what's wrong with the right tackle at number 9? What's wrong with drafting a tackle that you think it's too early?
You can get those. This draft is deep in tackle, very deep. Mayock will talk
about. Yeah, Mayock talked about it today. I think we lost you, Brian. Thanks for your call. That's the other way of looking at it. You can get a really good tackle, right or left side, with that 9th overall pick. There's no question about that. Or you can wait and get a pretty good tackle later on. depends on how much you value tackle. I think when you look at the Buffalo Bills and the way they construct their offense, what they want to do on the offensive side of the ball is run the ball. They ran it just about more than anybody else in the NFL last year. I don't think you can go wrong with beefing up the offensive line. I really don't. I know they need targets. I know they need playmakers. But I think a big offensive lineman will go a long way towards helping E.J. Manuel get more settled in the pocket and be more productive. That would be what I would do. But I'm willing to hear other arguments, and that's what we're doing right now. Give us your thoughts. What position group should the Bills focus on as they get set to go to the Combine this week in Indianapolis? 803-0550 is the number, or toll-free 1-888-550-2550. Gary in Amherst. Hello, Gary. Welcome. You're on the air.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Good evening. And what I'd really like to see the Bills really focus on is linebackers. So, you know, I think obviously they built a good core, but it needs to get better, as we all saw during the course of the season, whether it be, you know, the teams that you face. But, you know, just having that depth is instrumental. You see some of the successful teams, look at the Super Bowl. You ended up having a great defensive scheme, but more so the linebackers. So I really would like them to really take a look at it and hopefully pluck within the first couple picks a good linebacker again.
What are we talking about, middle linebacker, Gary?
Pardon me?
A middle linebacker?
Yeah, I would like to. Once again, you have to understand, I'd like to know a little bit more about Schwartz, what he's going to do as far as his scheme. I understand, you know, it's going to be one of those flex where you're going to end up having, you know, all multiple shows, but I believe that's an area where you really need some strength.
Okay, Gary, thanks. I think linebacker is definitely a focus for the Bills. I have a feeling they might look to the free agent ranks to find a linebacker. You know, and the board is done. The draft board is finished, not totally finished, but finished for the combine. And the free agency work is finished for now, too, with March 11th, I think, is the first date for free agents. Tomorrow night on the show, we're going to talk with Jim Monas, who is the Bills' director of player personnel, about all of these issues, where they stand in relation to the draft board and the free agent, the search for free agents. But the scouts have been here at One Bills Drive for the last 10 days or so. I think they'd wrap things up last week, about a 7 to 10 day process, putting the draft board in place. I just have a feeling that linebacker help may come through free agency as opposed to the draft, but I could be wrong on that. We'll see. Phone lines are open if you have a thought. Which position group should the Bills focus on as they hit the combine this week? Give us a call. 803-0550 is the number to call, or toll free 1-888-550-2550. The lines are open. Now let's take a look at the combine. Some, I think, good news today. Blake Bortles, one of the top ranked quarterbacks going to the combine this week from Central Florida, says he will throw at the combine. He removed any doubt. He's one of the top three quarterbacks available in the draft, along with Texas A&M's Johnny Manziel and Teddy Bridgewater of Louisville. A lot of quarterbacks don't like to throw at the combine. They're not used to the receivers, but Blake Bortles says he will definitely throw at the combine. He is 6'4", 230 pounds or so. He's, many people believe, has a lot to prove at the combine, coming on to the, out of the smaller school, Central Florida, smaller program anyway, and he has decided he will throw, so that's good. It is a deep draft this year, according to the experts, and that includes Mike Mayock, NFL Network's draft guru. He did a long pre-combine conference call with reporters today, and Mayock says this is the deepest draft he's seen in the last decade.
From my perspective, this is the deepest and best draft class I've seen in probably 10 years. That's been reinforced by most of the general managers and scouts that I've talked to throughout the league. I had one GM tell me the other day that having a top 20 pick this year is very similar to having a top 10 pick last year. So I think there's more depth. I think there are certain positions that are stacked this year, and you get a quality player through three or four rounds.
And that goes to the point that Gary just brought up. Certain positions stacked, including offensive tackle, and quality players go through three or four rounds. That might be the strategy. I'm going to ask Greg Gabriel about that. He's been in draft rooms, and he has done this work, you know, talked to prospects at the combine and figured out who to draft. And I wonder, you know, what kind of, if that's the right strategy, knowing that a position group is deep. And as Mayock says, for instance, offensive linemen are stacked. If you're the Buffalo Bills and you want to get better on the offensive line, can you afford to wait? Let's take a call from Tucker in Lancaster. Hi, Tucker. You're on the air.
Hey, John. How's it going?
Okay.
I think if, you know, you do have an opportunity and you want to go offensive line, I think that Jake Matthews, if he's there, would be a steal. Great bloodlines. Can play. He played the right side, I believe, for A&M the last couple seasons, which I think Pierce is a free agent, if I'm not mistaken, this year, that he can be a fill-in guy right off the bat. And he would bring a little bit of toughness to that offensive line. I think that we lack. I wanted just to talk a little bit about Jake Matthews and your thoughts. If he's there, you know, you pull the trigger on him, or what do you do?
Yeah, he would be my target if I were the Buffalo Bills. Jake Matthews, he would be at this stage anyway. 6'5", 310 pounds. He is regarded as a left tackle, probably because he is going to be a premium pick, but he could play either side. And some people think maybe if you get a tackle of that caliber, you move Cordy Glenn over to the right side, even though I think Cordy's a pretty good left tackle. But he'd be my number one guy. I think he's the most ready to play. Maybe doesn't have as much potential as Greg Robinson of Auburn, but I think he would be my target if I were the Buffalo Bills, Jake Matthews. And I think he – is he a steal at number nine? I don't know about a steal, but I think he kind of fits right in there. I wouldn't agree that the Bills offensive line lacks toughness. I think they're tough enough. I think they need more athleticism when it comes to a couple of positions, right tackle and right guard in particular, I think. Let's go to Carl and Clarence. Hi, Carl. Welcome. You're on the air.
John.
Hi, Carl. Yeah, you're on the air, Carl. How are you?
Oh, okay. Yeah, I was just asking how you were doing.
Good. I'm well.
Would I be wrong in asking to look at quarterbacks? I'm just not sold on EJ. I know we got to go through like another year with him before we decide what's going on. And I really have questions about his ability to stay healthy. This guy went down 3 times last year.
Yeah.
Like he doesn't know how to fall.
Well, would you be wrong? No. I mean, that's, you know, you can say what you want. I would say 2 things. Number one, it's pretty clear to me, having talked to the guys making the decisions here, Doug Marrone and Doug Whaley, that they are all in on EJ Manuel this year. They are all in.
I know. Yeah, I know.
And so that there's that. You'd be with that in mind. I think it'd be a wasted pick early on to draft a quarterback at 9. I think, you know, what do you do now? How do you partial out the playing time? I think I saw enough from EJ Manuel to want to see more, for sure, to want to see exactly what he can do for the Bills and to see him stay healthy. I on the, you know, can't stay healthy issue. The Bills will tell you there are 3 kind of freakish knee injuries, unrelated to each other. No major surgery required after any of the injuries, and they are well aware of, you know, the issue in the Cleveland game and not stepping out of bounds. I think they tried to correct that. So I don't think they view that as, they don't view him as injury prone. They don't view that as a problem moving forward. But everybody agrees EJ needs to stay healthy and play a full season after just 10 starts last year. So, to me, would you be wrong? No. I'd be surprised if the Bills chose a quarterback any earlier than the 4th or 5th round. You know, I think they like what they have in Thad Lewis a little bit, got some good playing time out of him as a backup. They may want to add a more veteran backup presence to the roster as well. I'd be surprised if they chose a quarterback, and I'd be stunned if they chose one before the 4th or 5th round. We're talking about the Combine. We're going to be there tomorrow, the next 3 nights, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday nights. Already got a pretty good show lined up for tomorrow night. We're going to talk with Jim Manos, as we said, the Bills Director of Player Personnel tomorrow, and John Urschel, Penn State product, Canisius High School product. He'll be on the line with us tomorrow as well. John Urschel is one of the offensive line candidates at the NFL Draft Combine, where we will be starting tomorrow night, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday night. We told you the Combine news. Blake Bortles is going to throw there on some other NFL news today. The St. Louis Rams committed to their quarterback, Jeff Fisher, committing to Sam Bradford this morning. He said he's making good progress in his rehab from a torn ACL, and he said he took on a leadership role last year. He's our quarterback, and we've said that. Jeff Fisher said Bradford's contract heading into the 5th year of a 6-year deal will count $17.6 million against the salary cap. There had been speculation the Rams could cut Bradford or redo his contract. Jeff Fisher said that's not going to happen. It's a lot of money. Think about it. And Bradford benefited from getting into the league before the new CBA and the rookie wage scale. I mean, $17.6 million against the cap next year. That's a lot. That's why people might speculate that Sam Bradford might be let go by the Rams, but Jeff Fisher says that's not going to happen. Washington Redskins have re-signed cornerback D'Angelo Hall. He's agreed to a deal that's worth $20 million over 4 years. Hall was the best defensive back on the Redskins roster last year, coming off one of his best seasons. He did not go to the Pro Bowl, but he had four interceptions, returned two for touchdowns, also scooped up a fumble and ran it back for the score. D'Angelo Hall has 43 interceptions since 2004, second most in a corner in that period. Eric Decker getting set to hit the free agent market, Denver Broncos wide receiver, and he said today, quote, "It's not all about the money. He's going to work every day and having fun and enjoying my job. That's what's important to him. He is expected to be one of the top unrestricted free agents when the market opens March 11th. Decker, with Peyton Manning throwing last year, caught 87 passes, 11 of them for touchdowns, 1,300 yards. He caught 85 passes a year before. Clearly a product of Peyton Manning and Eric Decker getting set to hit the free agent market. Some TV news. Tony Gonzalez is playing days surely over now, as he is going to hit CBS now as a analyst on the CBS pregame show. The future Hall of Fame tight end will be part of a pregame show at the pregame show, the NFL Today. He'll contribute across multiple CBS platforms, including Inside the NFL on Showtime. Gonzalez will join James Brown, Bill Cowher, and Boomer Esiason on the NFL Today. Dan Marino and Shannon Sharp have been bumped from the show. And finally, in NFL news, Richie Incognito back on Twitter. He deleted his Twitter account Friday after the Wells report came out about the Miami Dolphins locker room situation, but he returned to social media overnight, and among a variety of tweets, he apologized to teammate Jonathan Martin, saying, "I want to send Jonathan Martin my apologies." He also tweeted, "I apologize for acting like a big baby." He said, "I want to know everyone to know I'm in good spirits and looking forward to playing again someday." We'll see about that. Incognito was suspended last November for the remainder of the season. He'll hit the free agent market in March. Most observers feel he won't have a chance of signing anywhere. But Richie Incognito back on Twitter. Can't stay off it. All right, we're going to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about the combine and the approach to the combine. That's where we're going to be later this week. Greg Gabriel, for more than 29 years, personnel man with the Bears, the Giants, a little bit of work with the Buffalo Bills, now writes for the National Football Post. Greg Gabriel will be live on the line with us when we return, and you can phone in your combine and draft questions for him as the phone lines remain open at 803-0550 or toll-free 1-888-550-2550. It is the John Murphy Show presented by NOCO, live from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Combine coverage starts tomorrow. We'll be live in Indianapolis Wednesday, Thursday, Friday from the NFL Scouting Combine. Welcome back to John Murphy Show presented by NOCO. Get us set for the Combine. We are live on the line with a Western New York native who spent 29 years in NFL personnel departments. Greg Gabriel started with the Buffalo Bills in 1981, spent 16 years with the Giants, 9 years with the Chicago Bears, and he now writes for National Football Post, and Greg Gabriel is live on the line with us right now. Greg, thanks a lot for doing this. How are you tonight?
I'm doing real good, John. How are you doing?
I'm well. You're probably getting set to head down to the Combine later this week, right?
You know, in all honesty, I'm not going this year.
Really? I saw you at the Senior Bowl. Why are you skipping the Combine now?
Well, I'm considered media now, and they don't let media in to watch the workouts.
Okay.
So I'd get more out of watching it on television than, you know, sitting in the media area and, you know, BSing with people, so to speak. So I just made a decision to watch TV and see what I can get out of that.
Yeah, that's good. You know, I was just telling someone today, last year, the first year I went to the Combine with the Buffalo Bills credential as opposed to a media credential, was the first time I really got a chance to watch the workouts. I got a lot more out of watching than I thought I would, especially last year when we were focused on quarterbacks, Greg. It was interesting to watch those guys throw the ball last year, and it was something you couldn't do as a media member.
No, and that's why, you know, in all honesty, I had a pass to get in, but some situations arose that they couldn't give it to me. And, you know, they have a problem with media people having a team pass. So, you know, I like I said, I made the decision to stay home. But, you know, it's a lot of fun going to the media, watch the different players compete against one another. You know, I think if, from the quarterback aspect, you don't always get a lot out of it because, you know, the timing is off. They're thrown to a different receiver on every pass play. They've never worked with the receiver before. And same goes for the receivers. They haven't worked with the quarterback before. So I don't think you see them at their best. you have to go to the campus workout for that.
Yeah. Greg Gabriel on the line with us. He is a longtime NFL personnel man who now writes for National Football Post. If you have comments or questions about the combine for Greg, the phone lines are open, 803-0550 or toll-free 1-888-550-2550. Hey, Greg, Mike Mayock did a long conference call today with media and said this is the deepest draft in the last 10 years. Do you agree?
Well, yeah, it's deep for one reason. There's 102 underclassmen in it. And so that makes the depth a lot better. Now, looking ahead, if only 50 underclassmen come out next year's draft's going to be very thin because you have to make up for the people you lost the year before. But, you know, they have a decent senior class, and when you add all those juniors and a bulk of those guys are going to go in the premium rounds, it makes for a deep draft.
Yeah. You have done breakdowns on National Football Post of several prospects, including a guy that everybody's going to want to get a look at the combine, Johnny Football, Johnny Manziel. What do you think about Johnny Manziel, and what he's not going to throw or do much at the combine? What are we going to get out of Johnny Manziel this week?
Well, at the combine, first of all, probably the most important thing that happens at the combine is the medical. You have to get that. It's easy to bring 335 people into one place, get the medicals done, get it out of the way, and then the workouts I've always thought is secondary. One of the reasons is that, you know, in all the years they've had the combine, and it's been going on since 1985, the workouts or the drills haven't changed. You know, it's been the same thing. The position drills are the same. The agility drills are the same. You have the broad jump, the vertical jump, the bench press. And these kids have spent the last 4 to 8 weeks, depending on the kid, at these training schools preparing for the combine. So it becomes, nothing's reactive at the combine. It becomes a learned drill that they're doing. And so you expect them to do very good. I always put more stock into a private workout when you send a coach in, have him spend some time with the kid and put him through some drills. Then you're getting a better idea of his true athleticism because he doesn't know what to expect in that type of situation.
And what about pro days? Do you feel the same way about pro days when there's all kinds of scouts on hand there?
Well, the pro days from the individual workout part of the pro days, those are good. But when they're doing the, quote, measurable stuff, it's the same as they do at the combine. Now, the kids who are at the combine, and if they put up good numbers at the combine, they're not going to do anything at the pro day as far as the agility drills, the 40, and that type of thing. So the guys you're really testing, most of the guys you're testing at the pro day are the kids that weren't invited to the combine. And some of those kids haven't had the benefit or the value of going to the training camp. So I think what you see there is really what you get, and it's a better indicator of what kind of athlete they are.
You did a long, exhaustive film study of the Texas A&M quarterback, Johnny Manziel, and you wrote, overall, Manziel is unique. He is not for everyone. What do you mean by that, Greg?
Well, you know, he's not your conventional drop back, stay in the pocket NFL quarterback. You know, he's a player that has to make plays with his feet. He's more like the Super Bowl winning quarterback, Russell Wilson, except he's a better athlete than Wilson. Not quite as stocky as Wilson is, but he's a little bit taller and probably a better athlete. And so you're going to have to design your offense to play to his strengths. If you're going to ask him, and I put it in that report, if you're going to ask him to be the conventional NFL quarterback, he's going to fail because that's not anything that he can do, you know, really well, or that's not a strong point, so to speak.
I like this description you have of Manziel in your report. You wrote, on game day, Manziel is as competitive a player as you will ever see. That's pretty high praise. That would mean a lot if I was reading that report.
Yeah, well, he's a gamer, and he makes plays, and he wants to win. You know, people say a lot about his character, you know, and I agree he's had some immature moments, but he's not a criminal. You know, last year when a lot of this came out, he was a 20-year-old kid who had just won the Heisman Trophy. You and I were 20 at one time, and we probably don't want to tell people what we did. So, Manziel has done pretty much the same, but anytime he does it, it gets magnified because he's, you know, on the paddock and people are looking at everything he does. But as far as when it comes to football, he's serious. He works at his game very hard. Another report that I've gotten this year is that his work habits leading up to game a lot better or more improved than they were from a year ago. his leadership improve, but part of that is just he's a year older. He's more comfortable with his teammates. He was a, you know, first-year starter in 2012. This year is the second year doing it, and so he's just more comfortable in the situation. You know, I think it's going to take him a little while, like it does any quarterback, to see the best that he is in the NFL, but I think if he gets in the right situation, he's got a bright upside.
We're live on the line with Greg Gabriel from the National Football Post, longtime Bears and Giants personnel man. If you have comments or questions for Greg, the phone lines are open at 803-0550. One of the other quarterbacks, Blake Bortles, announced today, Greg, that he is going to throw. Why is that important for Blake Bortles to throw at the combine this week?
Well, he's an underclassman, and, you know, until he announced that he was coming out, there wasn't a lot of talk about him. So I think teams had to do catching up. You know, it was really in December that his name started coming out and people started watching more. It wasn't like a player like Manziel. You anticipated he was going to be coming out and you started watching him back in August and September. That wasn't the case with Bortles. And, he didn't have, because he's an underclassman, he didn't have an all-star game to go to. So now really this is going to be your first live look at him. So from that standpoint, you know, it's important to see him move around, see how he throws the ball. Obviously, the conditions aren't perfect because he's not, as I mentioned earlier, he's not throwing to receivers that he knows very well. But you're still getting a firsthand glimpse of him that we haven't had before.
And last thing on the quarterbacks, Greg. We talked about Manziel. What about Bridgewater? And if have you looked at Bridgewater much? Have you looked at Bortles much? Can you tell us how you would rank those three quarterbacks?
Well, I do not buy into a lot of the hype on Bortles. I think that, you know, he's has a chance to be an eventual starter in the league. I don't see him as a guy coming in and starting right away. I think if he gets drafted in the first round or high in the first round, it's a mistake. Instinctively, I don't think he has his top-notch instincts. His accuracy when you get downfield is average, to say the least. And so he's just not ready. I think people, you know, I'm not going to compare him to Gabbert because Gabbert was overrated when he came out a few years ago, because I think he has more instincts than Gabbert. Gabbert was a little better athlete and had a stronger arm, but really no accuracy, and Gabbert played in a strictly half-field offense. Bortles plays in a full-field offense. He's been well-coached. He's just still raw. You know, I thought he would have been doing himself a better service, staying in school, playing in that offense one more year, but he decided to come out, and now we're going to see what happens.
Greg Gabriel, our guest, he writes for National Football Post, and you write reports, Greg. I wonder, the reports you have, and I read the Manziel. I'm looking at a report you have on wide receiver Sammy Watkins of Clemson. How similar are these reports to the type of things that you would write as a scout when you were working with the team?
As far as the strong point, weak points, and summation, they're the exact same thing that I would, you know, have done for the last, you know, 29 or 30 years. The only difference is in a team report, you might be putting a grade on each specific, you know, let's say for an offensive lineman, there'll be an individual grade for run block, pass block, strength and explosion, balance, pull, anchor, those types of things, plus a grade for his athleticism. So that really that's the only difference, but the write-up is pretty much the same as I would have done for any report.
Yeah, that's why I like reading your stuff, because it does seem obviously you spent 29 years doing this, but it's very professionally written. On Sammy Watkins, the Clemson wide receiver, in his weak points you say, just an adequate blocker, doesn't have a twin brother. I don't know what that means. What does that mean?
Well, you know, it's funny because somebody asked me about that today. You know, every once in a while, you got to have a little levity in your reports because you're writing so many of them, and just to break up the monotony. But, you know, he is so good, and he's really a lot better than the next best receiver. That jokingly, I said, you know, it's too bad there's not two of them.
Okay. He doesn't have a twin brother, but he's pretty good, right? Clearly the number one receiver on the board this year?
Yeah, in my opinion, absolutely. You know, I don't think, you know, I know the Bills probably will be looking at a receiver. I really don't see him getting down to the Bills. Where they picking number nine, aren't they?
Yes, number nine. Yes, sir. Is there any receiver that warrants number nine other than Sammy Watkins?
You know, good question. Maybe, maybe not. The LSU receivers are very good. Question is, they're underclassmen. How fast are they? And the receiver position is a stopwatch-driven position. So if a guy runs fast, it pushes up his stock a little bit. If he runs slow, it obviously drops his stock. So until we get verified times on a lot of these juniors, and all the best receivers are juniors, then we're going to really have a better idea of where to line them up.
Tell me about the group of offensive tackles in particular, Greg, and mostly the top three. Those three warrant number nine pick overall, do you think? Jake Matthews, Greg Robinson, Taylor Lewan?
We won't get there. You know, if you look at last year's draft, we had four offensive linemen go in the or three offensive linemen go in the top four picks,
right?
Which is not generally what happens in a draft. I remember we did a study a few years ago when I was with the Bears, and generally speaking, you're going to get the third tackle off the board somewhere around 13 to 16. So going with that thinking, I would think, you know, if Buffalo is looking at a tackle, you're probably looking at the third tackle. Now, who that's going to be, you've got Greg Robinson from Auburn, Jake Matthews from Texas A&M, and Taylor Lewan from Michigan, all of them very good players. Lewan and Matthews arguably are better than the first two tackles that went last year. And yet they're not going to go quite as high because this every draft is different. This draft has some stronger skill position people. Robinson is an interesting guy because he's only a third-year sophomore. And where the other guys might be better technique-wise right now, the upside of Robinson I think is a little bit better or maybe even a lot better than Matthews and Lewan because he's just such a gifted athlete.
There's one body of opinion that somebody said tonight on our show, Greg, that with so many good offensive tackles in the draft, the Bills should wait. They'll be able to get a good, maybe starting caliber offensive tackle in the third round even. What do you think?
I don't know if you're going to get one all the way. I mean, yeah, you're going to get a good player in the third round, but whether he's going to be a guy who's ready to come in and play right away, that remains to be seen. If you wait till the second round, a lot of the tackles are going to be gone, and then you're going to be looking at more guard-type players, unless you're looking at a guy, say, like Jack Newark from Ohio State. You could be. It was a good football player, but he's not in the caliber player of some of these guys that are going to go in the first round. You know, I think what they're going to be looking at is they could be looking at a good receiver. They might have their opportunity to take the best tight end. Or, you know, you've got a new defensive coordinator who plays a different scheme. I don't know, there hasn't been much written about there's going to be scheme change in Buffalo, but Schwartz has always run a four-man front. A lot of times it's had a wide nine type of defensive front when it comes to rushing the passer. And the Bills don't really have that outside edge rusher except for Williams. So in saying that, could you be looking at a guy like UB's Khalil Mack at the ninth pick?
Yeah, they haven't said much about their defensive plans, that's for sure. Well, Greg, wish we had more time. Thank you very much for doing this tonight. We'll miss you at the Combine, but I know we'll stay in touch. Thank you very much.
Okay, John, we'll talk to you later.
Greg Gabriel, former longtime NFL personnel man for the Giants and the Bears, Buffalo native. We thank him for joining us tonight. We're going to take a break, come back with more, including your phone calls when we return. Let us know what position group you think the Bills should focus on at the Combine this week. The John Murphy Show presented by NOCO, live tonight from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
This is the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Thanks again to Greg Gabriel for joining us tonight, giving us his preview of the Combine. Joe Biscaglia standing by to do that for us as well. Couple of tweets. Rich Van tweets in to me, you mentioned right tackle and right guard for athleticism. Did you mean left guard? Yes, I did mean left guard. That was my mistake. I think that's where they need to upgrade, right tackle and left guard, the Buffalo Bills. And a phone call. Do we have time? Let's squeeze in a quick phone call here from Jason in Cheektowaga. Hi, Jason. You're on the air with us.
Hey, John. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I think Buffalo needs to get themselves either a big, fast wide receiver or a hybrid tight end.
Okay, do you have any names in mind for either of those positions?
At the top of my head right now.
Okay. Well, Sammy Watkins would fit the bill as a big, fast wide receiver. Greg Gabriel, our guest who has been around drafts and combines for almost 30 years, indicated that Watkins is not likely to last until the ninth overall pick. Hybrid tight end, I don't know. I've said this a couple times on the show. for me, tight end, unless he's a difference maker, and I mean a major difference maker, I wouldn't go for a tight end in the first round. Eric Ebron, North Carolina, very good tight end. We'll ask Joe Biscaglia about him coming up in the next hour, but is he a difference maker? Is he like a ninth overall pick difference maker? I don't know that he is. He might be. I don't know that he is. There's going to be a lot of time for this to all crystallize over the next several weeks and months. Draft is not until May 8th this year, but we're going to talk about it right up until then, and we're going to talk about it a lot with Joe Biscaglia. When we return after the top of the hour, Joe B. will join us for his take on the Combine. He's getting set for his 6th NFL Combine. We'll talk to him about that when we return. It is the John Murphy Show presented by NOCO, live tonight from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Well, we head tomorrow to Indianapolis. Welcome back to John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO. Tomorrow night, our coverage comes to you live from the NFL Scouting Combine. We'll be there Wednesday, Thursday, Friday night, the rest of this week at the Combine. And another guy who'll be there has been there for several years. He is the Bills beat reporter on our flagship WGR Sports Radio 550, sideline reporter on the Bills Radio Network, closely follows the NFL draft. Joe B., Joe Biscaglia joins us. Joe, thanks very much for coming on the show with us tonight.
Yeah, no problem, Murph. It's been a while since I've been on here, so it's good to talk to you again.
Yeah, it's good. Yeah. Hey, how many combines is this for you, Joe? Do you know?
This is number 6. I feel like I just started.
Yeah. I added mine up. This is number 8 for me. It's even in the 6 years you've been going, the 8 years I've been going, it gets bigger, doesn't it? Every year it gets bigger, and every year there seems to be one or sometimes two major stories that are going to come out of the combine.
Oh, 100%. And I just look at every single year and try and figure out which press conference is going to top the last year's big one. And I think we're going to have one with Michael Sam. I think he's going to top the Manti Te'o press conference that we saw last year.
Yeah, Te'o was big. Cam Newton was big, as I said. And you're right, Michael Sam, it'll be interesting. And there'll be, I think, a ton of news people there too. And I don't know. I know you haven't done your mock draft or anything yet, your official mock draft, but Michael Sam, most people project him as a 3rd to 5th rounder. Is that pretty much where you see him, Joe?
Yeah. That's where he looks like a fit to me. He does lack some certain qualities that you would like out of a pass rusher in terms of, having elite speed for his position, but he does have a good reaction off the snap. And I think with him, it's just going to be one of those things where he needs to find a home where he's a situational pass rusher that can develop him as an overall player, because right now I don't think he's a 3-down player, and I think that's the way NFL teams are probably seeing it too. So, yeah, right in that 3rd to 5th round range, because if you can get after the passer and you can have some production, you will have a home in the NFL, that's for sure.
Hey, Joe, we've been asking our listeners tonight what position groups they would advise the Bills to take the longest look at this week at the Combine. What would you advise the Bills? What position groups do you think they should take the deepest look at going into the Combine this week?
Well, I think you need to look at adding a playmaker of some sort, whether it be a wide receiver or a tight end. I think that should be an area they need to address. You look at what Doug Marrone and company might view as a pretty high up need, and that could potentially be another offensive tackle. So if one of those big name guys, either a Greg Robinson or a Jake Matthews, falls, maybe take a good hard long look at the offensive tackle group as well. And then if a pass rusher falls or a fantastic linebacker falls, then you're going to have to take a long look at them too. So I really think they're kind of open at this point. In my opinion, I think it should be a playmaker, but I know they're probably looking at it going, okay, well, what's going to be the best guy that we can bring on board here, regardless of position.
Have you said, I think I heard you on the radio last week say, Joe, that you don't advocate drafting an offensive tackle with like a premium first round pick like the Bills have there at number 9?
Yeah, not anymore. I think the NFL's changed, to be perfectly honest. Unless you're really going after the power run game, which the Bills very well might be doing right now with Fred Jackson and C.J. Spiller, and the fact that they were high up there on total carries last year. Unless you're totally committing to that style, which is kind of the past ways of running the offenses, then I wouldn't do that. If you're trying to become a passing team and a team that sets the tone that way, then I wouldn't really advise it because your quarterback's not in the pocket all that long. But I could see where Marone and company look at it and say, all right, well, if this Matthews or Robinson kid falls, then he's going to be too good to pass up because we do like the run game a little bit more than most.
On the line with Joe Biscaglia from our flagship WGR Sports Radio 550, talking about the NFL Combine. Well, let's talk about tackles for a second. And you mentioned the top two names, Greg Robinson of Auburn, Jake Matthews, Texas A&M. Tell me what you know about those two and how good they might be. And do they belong in the first half of the first round, do you think, Joe?
Yeah, I think they are definitely the top two in their position. And with Greg Robinson, I think his potential and his upside is absolutely tremendous. I mean, you look at him, he's, I think, 20 years old or just turned 21, redshirt sophomore. Started off the year and did some nice things, but really came on and showed to be that athletic road grading tackle that can get out in space and set the screen. You know, the one block that everyone looks at is a screen that Auburn ran in the national championship game where around in the red area for Auburn, and he just went out and absolutely crushed, I think it was Telvin Smith of Florida State. So you look for those big athletic guys who are the prototype, and Greg Robinson is definitely moldable with his age. So that's why I think he probably gets the nod as the first tackle taken. And then Jake Matthews, technically sound. He never looks like – he always looks like he's in control. Now, the potential for him to come in and dominate and be one of the best at his position maybe isn't as high as it would be a Robinson. But with Matthews, you know exactly what you're getting. And you're getting a good run blocker, a good pass blocker, and someone you can throw in basically anywhere along the line of scrimmage. And that versatility is an absolute monster in the NFL when you're talking about linemen getting drafted.
And Joe, if the Bills were to go to one of those two tackles in the first round, do they move them to the right side and keep Cordy Glenn on the left tackle spot? What do you think?
I think that they would take, if they take a tackle at ninth overall, I think they would put him at left and move Cordy over to the right side. I think that's just with the size to speed and movement abilities of Cordy, which are good, you have someone like a Greg Robinson or a Jake Matthews who can move that much better. I think they would chuck him over at the left side and move Cordy to the right side because I think he could be a very, very, very good right tackle if he's pressed into that duty.
He's a pretty good left tackle, isn't he?
I think so too. But I look at what they're thinking, and if one of those two guys fall, I wouldn't put one of those two guys at right tackle. I would rather have that guy at the left tackle spot and then move Cordy over. That way you have your bookends for quite some time.
We're talking with Joe Biscaglia about the NFL Scouting Combine. We'll be there with live coverage starting tomorrow night on the show. Hey, Joe, you mentioned playmakers. The acknowledged playmaker among the wide receivers is Sammy Watkins of Clemson, who, you know, widely reported a Bills fan, I guess. He does kind of fit what they're looking for if they're looking for a playmaker, doesn't he?
Oh, Murph, he is outstanding. I think the world of Sammy Watkins, and I know a lot of Bills fans will sit there and say, hey, you know what, they need a big target. They need a guy who's 6'4", can go up and get it like a Mike Evans or a Kelvin Benjamin or something like that. To me, Sammy Watkins is the best of both worlds. The guy is 6'1", 200-something pounds. He'll weigh in there. But you look at the plays that he makes and how big he plays. Sammy Watkins, despite being 6'1", plays like he's about 6'4", 6'5". And you match that with 4.3 speed, and you get the ball to him anywhere from 3 to 5 yards, and he can turn it into 60 in a blink of an eye. I just think the world of Sammy Watkins. He can catch the ball off his body. I think he's one of the best wide receiver prospects to come through in the past few years.
Does he last to pick number 9, do you think?
I was asked this not too long ago, and I wouldn't totally rule it out just because how many quarterbacks I think will end up going in that top 8, and certainly Jadeveon Clowney will end up going there, and maybe a Khalil Mack will end up going in that top 8, and one of the tackles you would think would go. It's going to force someone down. Will it be Sammy Watkins? I would tend to think no, but you know, I wouldn't completely rule it out. I put it like maybe a 3 or 4% chance.
Hmm. Does Mike Evans of Texas A&M warrant the ninth overall pick? The big wide receiver at 6'4".
See, with him, I think it really depends on how he runs, and if he can prove to have that elite speed, which is his biggest question right now. I think that definitely puts him in the discussion for that top 10, top 15 area. And if he comes out and runs a 4.49 or a low 4.5, I think that'll certainly help him in dispelling some of the myths about him that he's not exactly the fleetest of foot. So I think it really depends on how he runs, because there's no questioning that when the ball is in the air, the guy that can go up and get it better than anyone else in this draft is Mike Evans. So that part of the game is for sure. However, it's the other side, the speed side, is going to be the one that people are really looking at.
And tell me about a couple of other receivers. Just your thoughts on a couple of them. Marquise Lee of USC and Kelvin Benjamin of Florida State.
Well, completely different players, certainly. And Marquise Lee, he is an A-plus route runner. I mentioned last year how I thought Robert Woods kind of reminded me of Stevie a little bit when I was watching him at USC. Marquise Lee does a lot of the same stuff, and they tend to have their routes predicated in the same manner. I mean, he is deceptive with his movements, good in and out of his breaks. I think Marquise Lee will definitely be a wide receiver, but a little bit of a smaller guy. He's like 6 foot or 6'1", maybe a little bit under 200 pounds, so he's going to have to bulk up a little bit. Then with Kelvin Benjamin, a physical freak, 6'6", 230-something pounds, and he's a redshirt sophomore, but he's also 23 years old, and so that's something you have to consider. But he runs like the wind. The one thing with him, though, the concentration lapses, and you know me, Murph, I've watched my fair share of Florida State.
Yes.
Kelvin Benjamin will drop a pass 2 to 3 times a game. And so if he gets that through and is able to get to a place where he doesn't have to be the guy right away, I think he can really succeed down the line. But if he's drafted to be that guy right away, I'm not as confident in him sticking as a potentially big target in the NFL.
Joe Biscaglia, our guest. We're talking about the Combine. The NFL Scouting Combine will be there tomorrow night. And, Joe, you mentioned how you think the Bills need to focus on playmakers on offense. As far as tight ends are concerned, there's really only one, you know, blue-chip tight end playmaking type, Eric Ebron of North Carolina,
yeah.
Isn't there? Isn't he the only one?
Right now, and I'll tell you what, if the kid from Oregon, Colt Lyerla, if he didn't have the off-the-field stuff, I think he'd be right up there with Eric Ebron, but he does, and you have to take account for that. So to me, it's Ebron or no one in the first round if you're the Bills. He needs to put on some weight, definitely. But you talk about someone who can go up and be a matchup nightmare for a linebacker or a safety. He's got the height. He's got the wingspan. He can make highlight reel catches, one-handed catches. He'll drop a pass every once and again, but Ebron, to me, if he can continue down that path and become a little bit better of a blocker, he can definitely be one of the better tight ends in the NFL. It's all a matter of what situation he goes to, who's the quarterback that's throwing to him, and everything like that. But as for the other tight ends that maybe some people are liking, the Safarian Jenkins from Washington and Jay Samaro from Texas Tech, a little bit higher on Safarian Jenkins than I am Amaro, just because he's got more of an explosiveness and suddenness to his game, whereas Amaro really doesn't have that aspect. So, but if you had to ask me for a sleeper, I'd tell you to invest in Lyerla and hope he hits, because if he does, he's going to be a darn good one in the pros.
Is there any way he could be compared eventually to like a Gronkowski or Jimmy Graham? I mean, because to me, that you need, if you're going to invest a ninth overall pick on a tight end, you better be close to those guys.
I think the comparable for height and weight sake and probably speed is Vernon Davis. And okay. Vernon was taken in the top 10 as well. Vernon is, I believe, 6'3", 250 pounds, and right now Ebron is 6'4". I think Scouts, Inc. has him at 235, so if he gets up to that 245, 250 range, I think that's right in the wheelhouse for where he wants to get to and still keep his major speed aspect to his game. Yeah, it's going to be interesting. I don't think he's the type of player that Gronkowski is, and Graham's a little bit closer to his skill set. But if there's one guy to look at as to say, okay, Ebron is like X, it's probably Vernon Davis.
We're on the line with Joe Biscaglia. He is the Bills beat reporter for WGR Sports Radio 550, our sideline reporter on the Bills Network, closely follows the NFL draft, and he'll be down there at the Combine this week, as will we. Hey, Joe, you mentioned about players pushing some of the prospects down to the Buffalo Bills. The Bills could be in position to benefit from maybe a hot market for three quarterbacks, right? I mean, there's some quarterback needy teams ahead of the Bills in the draft, which may mean the Bills are going to get a pretty good player.
Oh, there certainly are. And it could even go up to four quarterbacks if Derek Carr works well enough at the combine and in interviews, and some team falls in love with him. It only takes one. And we've seen in past drafts where with the rookie wage scale, teams are not afraid to take quarterbacks higher, such as Locker and Christian Ponder and things like that. So you could see maybe even four quarterbacks go in the top eight. But definitely three, it looks like, at this point. And then you have Jadeveon Clowney beside, so he's not dropping below the top five. You have Sammy Watkins, who will probably go in the top five. Jake Matthews or Greg Robinson will probably go in the top eight. So then you're looking at all of these different players. I just listed off about seven guys.
Yeah.
So there's going to be talent that drops down, and it's just a matter of what position it is or what kind of run happens on draft day. I think there's a chance that the Bills could come away with a pretty darn good player at ninth overall. It's certainly a great year to be in the top 10 because there's that much talent.
And the quarterbacks, Joe, Blake Bortles announcing today that he will throw at the combine. He will test and throw. He needs to, I guess, right, coming out of Central Florida to show that he belongs in that conversation. Most people think he does.
Yeah, I've come to the conclusion, you know, I used to value it a little bit more, you know, the whole throwing of the combine thing. I tend to view it a little bit less than a bunch of people, because I remember watching 2 years ago, Nick Foles looked like absolute garbage out there. He did not look good. And I remember walking back from the workout with John Clayton of ESPN, and I said, oh, so what'd you make of it? And he was like, oh, Nick Foles is not good. it turns out he almost set the record for consecutive touchdowns without an interception for the Eagles this past year. So, you know, I think it is important for Bortles for his overall perception within the league and whether or not he's going to be worthy of that first overall pick. At the same time, he's going to be throwing to foreign receivers that he's never thrown to before, and it's a tough situation for quarterbacks. So I understand when QBs won't do it. But yeah, it shows a certain competitive aspect. And in the grand scheme of things, though, I really don't think it matters. I mean, Mark Sanchez threw back in the day, and he has been great in the pros, whereas Matthew Stafford didn't, and Matthew Stafford has been a far better prospect. So I guess it's really just a matter of trusting your gut instincts with what you see on tape and how they interview rather than whether or not they throw at the combine.
How do you rank those top three quarterbacks, Bortles, Manziel, and Bridgewater, Joe?
I definitely need to watch more of Bortles. To be honest, I haven't gotten to the quarterbacks just because the quarterback, I don't really think the Bills are going to be drafting one
right at
any point in the first two rounds. But I can tell you this. I think I would love to have Johnny Manziel on my team if I was starting a franchise just because I think he's so dynamic. And I know all the questions that surround him, and I know the recent scouting report that came up with him from Nolan Rocky of NFL.com. I think Manziel could come in there and at least make you a very competitive team for the next 2 to 3 years. And if teams figure him out and he flames out or he gets hurt, then you had two to three good years. But I think he's a very good player. Teddy Bridgewater, I think, is a dynamic player that maybe needs to get a little bit bigger. And Bortles has the size. I'm waiting to see a little bit more from Bortles before I really want to define an opinion on him just yet.
And lastly, Joe, we haven't talked yet about Khalil Mack, the UB product, who shot up everybody's draft boards last year and has stayed there. He even today, Mike Mayock talks about him as a potential top five draft pick. He is going to go early in the first round, isn't he?
Yeah, it looks like he'll at least be a top 15 selection. And you never know what's going to happen because it's still February. But he's got a bevy of pass rushing moves. He can pull off the spin. He can pull off the speed, the power. He can hit you with the outside in move. And I think what teams will like about him is the fact that he has some versatility to his game. He never really got down in a 3-point stance and rushed from that spot, but he rushes from the edge, and he's quite comfortable with dropping back into coverage if you need him to. So I think Khalil Mack's got a bright future in terms of draft prospects, and I think some team will give him a home within the first 15 picks or so, and it's a great story for UP. I mean, having that kind of buzz around a player on your team, it's got to be tremendous for that school. And you know, he's definitely got the game to back it up, that's for sure.
Hey, Joe, is there anybody that you'd see, you know, the bigger name guys, stands to gain the most from a good combine performance this week? Anybody who can really raise their draft stock by with a good showing this week?
I think Evans, who we talked about, yep. Mike Evans from Texas A&M, wide out. Ebron from Carolina. I think offensive linemen and defensive linemen can't really shoot up the boards too much at the combine. I think it's more for the skill positions and those types of guys to see if they can cut it or if they can run a lot faster, and maybe just how they measure in. Because I remember a few years ago with Sam Bradford, the big knock on him was that he was only 210 pounds. He shows up to the combine at 230, and everyone's like, okay, he's the number one pick now. And so it all depends on the measurables and how those skill players will run, because I don't think there's much to gain for the big hog mollies, I'll call them, to really have any positive momentum one way or the other.
Joe, have a safe trip. We'll see you down there, and good luck. Have a good combine.
Yeah, you as well, Murph. Have a safe drive down there.
Okay, thank you. Joe Biscaglia, our guest, the Bills beat reporter from WGR Sports Radio 550, our flagship here in Buffalo, sideline reporter on the Bills Radio Network, covers the NFL draft very closely, as you know, over the years, an invaluable source of information when we approach the draft and the combine. As he said, his sixth NFL scouting combine coming up this week. We'll be there tomorrow night, and we'll be live in Indianapolis tomorrow night, 7 to 9 p.m. from the combine tomorrow, Thursday and Friday night. Coming up, we'll tell you a little bit later on this hour about some of the guests we have lined up for tomorrow night's show already, but it should be pretty good as we set the stage for the NFL Scouting Combine this week in Indianapolis. Got more to come. The John Murphy Show presented by NOCO. We're live at One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Thanks again to Joe Biscaglia, for joining us, lending his expertise about the NFL draft. It is the John Murphy Show presented by NOCO. We are live tonight at One Bills Drive. We are headed to the combine tomorrow, bright and early, 7 a.m. Hop in a car, drive to Indy. We'll be on the air there tomorrow night, 7 to 9 p.m. And among our guests tomorrow night, Jim Monas, who is the Bills' director of player personnel. He'll be with us tomorrow night. John Urschel, Canisius High School product, a graduate of Penn State, the all-time academic All-American at Penn State. He won the Campbell Trophy as the top academic achiever in college football this past year. John Urschel will be on the line with us tomorrow as well. John Urschel is actually in Indianapolis now. He was training in San Diego and is in Indy now, and he'll be on the show with us tomorrow night at 7:30. So already lining things up for tomorrow night. Tonight we're talking about the combine and want to reopen the phone lines, get your thoughts on the combine and the Bills' approach to the combine. If you were advising the Bills, what position groups would you suggest that they take the closest look at the combine this week? We talked about offensive line a lot. That's where I'm leaning. A lot of people think wide receiver. Some people think tight end. Zach Snyder tweeted in, a receiving tight end is the most advantageous matchup in today's NFL. Take Ebron. Well, I think a great tight end matchup is important in the NFL. Most teams don't have that. A couple do. Jimmy Graham, obviously, in New Orleans. Rob Gronkowski. There were a couple others that may have a pretty good matchup there, but I don't know. Is Ebron that guy? I'm not convinced. I want to see a little bit more as the weeks and months move along. I don't know about that. But give us a call. Let us know what you think. If you were advising the Bills, which position group would you tell them to focus on as they head to the NFL Combine this week? 803-0550 is the number to call. Toll free 1-888-550-2550. Let's see. Nick tweets in, Watkins, if available, Sammy Watkins, a wide receiver. This is what the Bills should focus on. Stud linebacker to complement Kiko and cornerback O-line in third or fourth. Okay. All right. I could see that. There's a lot of different ways to do this, and as somebody pointed out not too long ago, we are not yet factoring in the free agency, which starts March 11th. The Bills obviously see who they keep, and let's see who they go after in free agency. I don't expect that there's a big splash coming in free agency. They've pretty much indicated that's going to be the case, but that does come before the draft, about 2 months before the draft. Mike Mayock, NFL Network analyst, draft guru, he'll be at the Combine. He spent more than 2 hours on a conference call with reporters from all over the country today talking about the Combine. And Mike Mayock maintains that this is the deepest draft that he's seen in the last decade.
From my perspective, this is the deepest and best draft class I've seen in probably 10 years. That's been reinforced by most of the general managers and scouts that I've talked to throughout the league. I had one GM tell me the other day that having a top 20 pick this year is very similar to having a top 10 pick last year. So I think there's more depth. I think there are certain positions that are stacked this year and get a quality player through three or four rounds.
Mike Mayock talking about this year's draft. Deepest, he said, in 10 years. Certain positions are stacked. A lot of this, obviously, because of the addition of 98 underclassmen in the draft. That's why it is so deep. Mike Mayock, talking on his conference call today, was asked specifically, what makes this draft pool so deep this year?
One is the playmakers at the top end of this draft. It's not just a couple guys. You know, there's three offensive tackles that could go in the top 10. There's three quarterbacks that could go in the top 10. Then you've got guys, like I mentioned, Khalil Mack, who's a difference maker. The Bar kick from UCLA. C.J. Mosley from Alabama. Watkins from Clemson is a tremendous wide receiver. I mean, so we're 10 or 11 or 12 players deep right there, and we haven't even talked about the safety from Louisville or the tight end from North Carolina. And I could go on and on. There's more quality at the top end of this draft than I've seen in a long time. And from a position standpoint, you know, we talked about wide receiver. I think offensive tackle is particularly deep. You can go three rounds, four rounds deep this year and get a starting offensive tackle. So from those couple of positions and the quality up top, and I think there's some pretty good corners, by the way, 3 to 4 rounds deep. So I'm really excited about this draft.
Mike Mayock from the NFL Network talking about the draft. He talked about the three quarterbacks possibly going in the top 10. Those would be Teddy Bridgewater, Johnny Manziel, Blake Bortles. He talked about three offensive tackles possibly going in the top 10. He would be referring to Jake Matthews from Texas A&M, Greg Robinson from Auburn, and Taylor Lewan from Michigan. Mike Mayock had more to say about those three and how those three might shake out, judging between those three offensive tackles.
I think the safest pick in the offensive line is Jake Matthews from A&M. I mean, he's already a professional. He's got the skill set. You plug him in day one, and he'll play at a high level. I think Greg Robinson from Auburn might have the highest upside of any of the offensive linemen in this draft, but he's not quite as polished as Matthews or Taylor Lewan. Taylor Lewan gets a little top-heavy at times, but he's got a nasty finish. I think he's very similar to Fisher and Jokel from last year, who were the first couple picks. So I think all three of those guys are worthy of top 10 picks, and I think Robinson's the one with the highest upside, but also the one that you'd be the most concerned about just because he's a little bit more raw.
So he says Jake Matthews from Texas A&M would be the safest pick of the three on the offensive line, while Greg Robinson of Auburn might have the highest upside. There's an interesting debate going on these days, and our partner here at BuffaloBills.com, Chris Brown, asked Mike Mayock this question about offensive tackles, about how the difference between left tackle and right tackle is diminished these days in the NFL. It used to be left tackle was the premium blue chip position on the offensive line. Right tackle, you could get by with a guy. That has changed in the NFL. Chris Brown has talked about it. He has written about it. And today he asked Mike Mayock about the difference between right tackle and left tackle. And maybe that difference is not as great in the eyes of talent evaluators as it was, say, 5 or 10 years ago.
It's an interesting question, and I'll take it a step further. Not only are they shrinking, which I agree with, but I think the second most important position on the offensive line might be center. So what I think we're seeing is that in the old days, the defense always lined their best pass rusher off against the left tackle, with the theory being it's the blind side of the quarterback, and the offense said, oh, we got to protect the blind side. And in the old days, they all lined up that way every snap of every game. Now we're seeing defenses getting much more creative, moving guys around, trying to get mismatches wherever they can, overloads wherever they can, and sometimes they'll just put somebody on over against the left tackle that they know can't win because they don't care. They'll figure we'll go try to overwhelm the right side. So having said all of that, it's gotten a lot closer, the left tackle and the right tackle. The right tackle better be able to pass protect. But I also think if you talk to any of the Peyton Manning, Tom Brady type of quarterbacks that are drop back quarterbacks, the thing that bothers them the most is immediate pressure up the middle. So I think the center and that interior offensive line has become more important. And the center, because on top of that, they're calling the protections and coordinating the line. So I would say that left tackle followed by center and then right tackle. But it's getting closer and closer along the total, all five up front.
Very interesting concept. And credit Chris Brown for kind of spotting that trend and bringing it to Mike Mayock's attention. I thought very interesting answer. He's right. You know, very often quarterbacks can't handle pressure up the middle. He mentioned Brady and Manning, but really, who can? Immediate pressure up the middle. That would seem to make center more important than maybe it has been in years past, and even the interior lineman guards. Not to say that left tackle isn't critical. It is. But I think what if we interpret what Mike Mayock is saying there, he's saying that the difference between the left tackle and the others on the offensive line is diminished in recent years, just because mostly because of the way defenses are playing and setting up their pass rush schemes. All right, quarterbacks, obviously a big a factor, and there's been a trend in the NFL in recent years for athletic quarterbacks. Mike Mayock, on his conference call with reporters today, was asked who are the more athletic quarterbacks in this draft, and will the trend continue as teams look for quarterbacks with the escape dimension?
I think we're seeing more and more in the NFL game that's reflected from the college game, and it starts at the quarterback position, and not just with an ability to run a zone read or be that guy, but also an ability to slide and move in the pocket and create opportunities by using your legs to throw the ball down the field. So as far as athletes are concerned, you know, a guy like Teddy Bridgewater is an athletic kid, but he slides and moves to find an opportunity to throw the football. We all know what Johnny Manziel is all about. I think as you go down the list a little bit, there are guys like Stephen Morris and Ty Boyd that are highly athletic. You know, Logan Thomas to me is the wild card of this year's quarterback class. He's got tremendous talent and movement skills, but he might not go till late in the draft. So I think you'll see reflected throughout the quarterback class, there's a whole group of mobile quarterbacks that still have good arms and can throw from the pocket.
Mike Mayock speaking on a conference call with reporters today. He talked about receivers, and Mayock has ranked positions for the draft. It's an early ranking, obviously, heading into the combine. But as far as receivers are concerned, like most draft analysts, he puts Clemson's Sammy Watkins at the top of his list, with Marquise Lee of USC number 2, Mike Evans of Texas A&M number 3, Florida State's Calvin Benjamin number 4, and Jarvis Landry of LSU number 5. Mike Mayock's top 5 wide receivers heading into the combine. But Mayock was asked today, what makes it difficult to evaluate wide receivers?
I think there are two reasons. Number one is there's not a whole lot of quality press corners in college football. And I should say there aren't a whole lot of teams that play a lot of press coverage is probably a better way to say it. So you get easy access off the line of scrimmage in college that you don't necessarily get at the next level. And then number two, with the proliferation of different defenses and having to read on the run in the NFL, if you're able to get off the line of scrimmage, all of a sudden there's a rotation, something else changes, the free safety's gone. Now here comes a linebacker, and now you're like, uh-oh, what's my adjustment on the fly? And I think what happens is a lot of wide receivers slow down early in their careers because when you're confused, you play slow. And when you can't get off the line of scrimmage, you can't win. So I think there's a certain amount of evaluation that goes on with college players it doesn't translate to the next level.
Interesting. And maybe that's why many people believe it takes receivers more than a year to make an impact, that the first year is learning how to get off press coverage to get into your route. And that I've heard scouts and coaches say that they don't expect too much, for the most part, out of wide receivers in their rookie year. It takes them a while to learn how to play in the NFL game, and I think Mike Mayock illustrated that. One of the top names in the draft, certainly one of the top picks in the first round, will be South Carolina defensive end Jadeveon Clowney, who obviously was under the microscope for most of his senior season at South Carolina, most of his final season at South Carolina. And Mike Mayock was asked today if Clowney could go number one overall to the Houston Texans.
I know that he's got the physical makeup to be the best player in the draft. Okay, physical makeup. And if you want to compare him to Mario Williams, I think he's a better football player with more upside than when Mario came out of college. And he was obviously the first pick. So from a physical skill set, this kid is as freaky as they come. He plays a position of critical importance in today's NFL, which is an ability to get to the quarterback. He can play multiple places on the defense. So all those things check off. My biggest concern is just what's his mental makeup? How important is it to him when he gets a big paycheck to become the best player in football? Or is he just going to be happy to be a millionaire? So I think that's the most critical checking point here from an organization is finding out what the motivation, what kind of kid are they going to get? I know what the football player is when motivated. I just want to know what kind of kid I'm getting.
That's always the question, isn't it? Especially for rare talents like Jadeveon Clowney. We'll get a chance to talk with him and all of the other prospects the rest of this week when we head to the NFL Combine in Indianapolis. We're going to take a break. Still got time for your phone calls. If you've got thoughts on how the Bills should approach the Combine, what position groups they should look at, we'll have time for your phone calls. 803-0550 is the number. Toll free, 1-888-550-2550. The John Murphy Show presented by NOCO, live tonight from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Is the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Can you tell we're excited about the Combine tomorrow? Not excited about the eight-hour drive. We'll get through that. I'm excited about it, though. I'm excited about, just like the Senior Bowl, kind of turning the page and taking a look at some of the guys here, getting a chance to talk with some of them. Excited about talking with John Urschel tomorrow night, the Penn State product, Canisius High School product. I mean, what a great opportunity for him. He's got a great story, too. A tremendous scholar-athlete who is giving it a shot in the NFL. Hey, so all the Combine coverage will be up on our website. Combine coverage brought to you by Napa at BuffaloBills.com. Right now, if you go to the website, you can see an NFL Films video on Jadeveon Clowney and Johnny Manziel. We've got our Bills focus up there, the new Bills defensive staff and the experience they bring. Chris Brown will have updates throughout the course of the week. I'll be there as well, chipping in with video reports and everything else from the Combine. And, of course, three live radio shows coming up from the NFL Scouting Combine starting tomorrow night. Got a couple of minutes left here on the show. If you have a comment or a question about the Bills' approach to the Combine, 803-0550 is the number to call. One thing that came up today, I guess it came up yesterday, which really bothers me a lot. You know, everybody, the players are so overanalyzed. We get that. We know that. But there is one analyst in particular, Nolan Noraki. He was with Pro Football Weekly. That went shut down this past year. Now he's a draft analyst and writes for NFL.com. Did you see what he wrote for Johnny Manziel going into the Combine? I mean, it's almost like, and he's done this before, by the way. Before the 2011 draft, Nolan Noraki wrote about Cam Newton, very disingenuous, has a fake smile, comes off as scripted, has a selfish me-first makeup. Cam Newton took his team deep into the playoffs this year. Last year, he slammed Geno Smith, not a student of the game, not committed or focused, marginal work ethic. So here we are, a couple of days before the Combine, and Nolan Noraki writing about Johnny Manziel. Suspect intangibles, not a leader by example, a sense of entitlement, prima donna arrogance, seeking out the bright lights of Hollywood, is known to party too much, drawn to all the trappings of the game. Unbelievable. He did it to Jadeveon Clowney. He wrote about Clowney, is still immature and finding his way, too much of a follower. Every year, this guy has something to say negative about some of the some of the top players in the draft every year. There's a bad guy in the draft. I find that hard to believe. Quick call here from Pete in Lancaster. Hi, Pete. You're on the air.
Real quick, the Jarius Bird situation. I think the fan base, we're looking for the signature to take place. We're looking for the Bills to make a move on this guy. He's one of the top in the league. I know it's expensive, Murph, but we need something from the Bills right now, I think.
Well, okay. If you spend it, I mean, they're going to approach it, I think, in a smart way, and the door is open now for free agents to be signed and for the franchise tag to be applied. I'm not sure if that's the right strategy. I would think it behooves both sides to get a deal done, the Bills and Jarius Bird. The Bills, because they really don't want to tie up $8.3 million in a one-year deal. And for Jarius Bird, you want the long-term security. But we'll see. They're going to be smart about it, I think. I know the way the fans feel. I know I have a sense of the way the Bills feel. They feel like there's a value for that position and a value for that player who is unquestionably one of the best players at his position. I'm sure they'd like to get it done, and I wouldn't be surprised if they have some discussions even in Indianapolis this week with Jarius Bird's representatives in an effort to get that done. But we'll see. We'll see how it plays out. Well, tomorrow night, the show comes to you live from the Combine in Indianapolis, so make sure you tune in for that. I want to thank our presenting sponsor, NOCO, family-owned and locally operated since 1933. Explore what NOCO can do for you at NOCO.com. Our engineer, Tom Wrights, our producer, Mike Adamek, and the Bills director of broadcasting is Jeff Matthews. Tomorrow night, 7 o'clock from the Combine, the John Murphy Show presented by NOCO, live from Indianapolis on Buffalo Bills Radio.